about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Peter King. After being stalled at the Rafah crossing, 17 trucks with humanitarian aid have entered Gaza from Egypt, with the International Red Cross hoping to ramp up to as many as 100 trucks a day. The agency's Sarah Davies says it hopes to send in other kinds of help.
Medical teams and surgical teams who are ready to deploy and begin to alleviate some of these immediate wounds. Some of the situations where people have burns, they have smoke inhalation, they've been living on the streets.
An Israeli ground invasion is expected at almost any time, Colonel Jonathan Cornicus.
It's our intention to dismantle Hamas from its military capabilities.
Israeli warplanes have hit targets in Gaza and to the north near Lebanon, while Syria claims Israeli planes have bombed two of its airports. The BBC's Yolanda Nell is in Jerusalem.
There is a lot of concern about a widening of this situation because we have had continuing this cross-border fire between Israel and Hezbollah and other militants inside south of Lebanon. There's also these reports from inside Syria, these military strikes by Israel, they're saying, on the Damascus and Aleppo airports. The Israeli military does not comment directly on that.
Detroit police are looking for whoever stabbed and killed a 40-year-old woman who is the president of her synagogue. They're also looking for a motive, and both the police chief and the Michigan Anti-Defamation League have asked the public not to rush to any conclusions until investigators find out more. The National Hurricane Center says Hurricane Norma quickly weakened from a Category 4 storm to a tropical storm by the time it hit Mexico's Baja California Peninsula yesterday. Conversely, the past few years have seen a lot of hurricanes that have quickly grown stronger. CBS's Matt Piper says we may see more of the same.
A new study says hurricanes in the Atlantic Ocean are now twice as likely to go from a Category 1 storm to a major hurricane in just 24 hours. It happened 8% of the time in the last 20 years, including last month with Hurricane Lee. Climate scientists believe warmer waters are fueling the storm's rapid strengthening.
A British soccer great is being remembered as the heart of his country's 1966 World Cup championship.
And now Bobby's got a chance to shoot. He does, and it's there. It's a goal by Bobby Charlton.
With his superb passing and thunderous shooting, Sir Bobby Charlton was arguably the greatest English player of his generation, indeed perhaps even the greatest of all time. His career began in 1954 when he was signed by Manchester United, and he never left the club.
That report from the BBC's Andy Swiss, Sir Bobby Charlton was 86. This is CBS News.
Eggland's Best. The only eggs with more fresh and delicious taste. Plus superior nutrition, because the way we care is anything but ordinary. Only Eggland's Best.
I'm Dr. Short.
News, I'm Terry Bell. The federal government just announced plans to build so-called hydrogen hubs, and Wisconsin is part of two of them. But environmentalists are concerned developers might increase carbon emissions. Suzanne Potter explains.
The feds just announced $7 billion in funding to produce hydrogen, which is used in hard-to-decarbonize sectors like aviation fuel, steel and glass production, power generation, refining, and heavy-duty transportation. However, as Patrick Drupp with the Sierra Club warns, the devil is in the details.
And if it's done correctly, maybe we can create some truly clean hydrogen to decarbonize. And if it's done wrong, we have a chance to actually further fuel the climate crisis.
Wisconsin will be involved with the Heartland Hydrogen Hub and the Midwestern Hydrogen Hub. Conservation groups are pressing for so-called green hydrogen, meaning hydrogen produced by electrolysis of water molecules, using renewable power built especially for the hub. They don't want plants to rely on existing renewable power, because once it is used, utilities could turn to other sources, such as coal and natural gas, to backfill demand. Some groups say so-called blue hydrogen is more acceptable because, although it uses methane, a potent greenhouse gas, it captures any carbon emissions and sequesters them. Drupp says the Sierra Club opposes blue hydrogen.
It still carries all of the same problems of using methane. It carries the same problems of fracking, potential methane leaks as you distribute the gas around the country.
Next, the Treasury Department needs to issue its guidance on the hydrogen tax credit that was created in the Inflation Reduction Act. That guidance will greatly influence how green hydrogen is produced and how the accounting for total emissions from hydrogen production is done. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Suzanne Potter.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Communities.
Welcome. Grab your favorite morning beverage and join us for Morning Cannolis with Jim Santel.
You don't know me, but I'm your brother.
Sampling the news desserts of the week, here is your host, Jim Santel.
Good morning. This is Morning Cannolis, and my name is Jim Santel. Thank you so much for joining me in this, our second hour here on Saturday, October 21st. Delighted to have you with us on this, our 68th broadcast. 68th broadcast is going on the air in June of last year, talking as always about the administration of justice and trappings of government and the hope for the administration of justice, the extension of law in all areas of our lives. Why? To promote our lives and to make our lives better. That's the reason why we have order. That's the reason why we have systems of justice in our nation and other republics, other nations around the planet. This morning, talking in this hour, not only about many of those pieces of litigation pending in our federal and state courts, finishing up some of our discussion from the first hour, and then moving into other areas where likewise attention has been paid this past week to things going on, especially important, this major piece of litigation, a criminal case in the state of Georgia in Fulton County, which is basically Atlanta. Some major developments that I would offer are as significant as the indictments themselves when it comes to decisions being made by two of the identified indicted defendants in that state criminal case to plead guilty and to cooperate with the government. We'll talk about that in just a few moments. We're also going to talk a little bit about something that happened with respect to one of the fake electors, the charged fake electors in the state of Michigan. And all of that leads to questions and comments, observations by our listeners. We appreciate that tremendously. Luke Mathers and I are taking your phone calls, your comments, your questions, oral and written, 844-967-2789. And as indicated in our first hour, Linda, appreciate very much your comment, your question about whether or not other people, including our present senior senator, might at some point be indicted in one of these matters. And let's take up that question right now, hinted at it already somewhat in our first hour. All of these cases, again, focusing upon Donald Trump, but plainly other people as well. Even the documents case, as I said right before the break, the top of the hour break, involving other individuals who were involved with Donald Trump, purportedly, allegedly. That case now focusing on whether or not a particular lawyer should continue to represent one of the defendants in the wake of his previous representation of one of the witnesses, a fairly thorny issue having to do with conflict of interest. The defendant in that case waiving that, saying, I'd like to continue with the attorney. We'll see what the Department of Justice says about all that. All of those kinds of things, focusing upon the notion that this is not just about Donald Trump. He is certainly the major character, the major feature, the major actor in these civil and criminal cases as well. But he's not the only one. And as I indicated previously, just because these cases have been charged, the case in the District of Columbia, the case in Florida, the case in Georgia, the state case, and other matters, other civil cases, including the New York case, the criminal case that we're not talking a lot about this morning, involving the allegations of hush money being paid to a porn star, connection with the 2016 election, that being prosecuted by Alvin Bragg, who's the district attorney in Manhattan. All these cases involving Donald Trump at their core, but nonetheless, other individuals as well. The reality is that in any of them, if there are additional defendants who likewise are involved in the predicate, the core allegations in those complaints, the prosecutors can seek what's called a superseding indictment. Indeed, in the Mar-a-Lago case, that's exactly what Jack Smith did, to add these additional defendants who engaged in obstruction of justice when it came to allegedly destroying some of the evidence, some of the videotape of these documents being moved around at Mar-a-Lago. Jack Smith did just that. He added more defendants. And indeed, the strong suggestion is that when it comes to this pending case in front of Judge Chutkan, which you talked about at great length in our first hour, when we talk about that particular case, we know once again that Donald Trump, the singular defendant, four counts against him, but there are more layers of individuals who are involved plainly with the defendant, with Donald Trump, and Jack Smith knows that the indicting grand juries have known it as well. As I indicated in the first hour, many of those people identify not by name, but we know them because of the descriptions of them, and they're being named in other indictments. Many of those defendants likely going to be charged federally by Jack Smith at some point down the road. And they, once again, people like Rudy Giuliani and John Eastman, Jeffrey Clark, Boris Epstein, others also involved in the January 6th event could also involve federal charges against the fake electors, including the fake electors in Michigan and Georgia, already the subject of state charges. Nothing, as we have said before, prevents the federal government for charging federally those people who have also been charged in the state system. Why? Because they vindicate different interests, and they're charged plainly under different sets, different codes of laws, state codes versus the federal codes, but different interests, different vindicated purposes being advanced by federal and state prosecutions. They can happen in a parallel universe, if you will. They can happen in a parallel proceeding. Often the federal government permits the state to go ahead before prosecuting, but nothing wrong legally, nothing wrong ethically by going down that parallel route. So we may well see that. And to answer finally, Linda, your good question about other defendants, including arguably members of the Congress, members of the Senate, maybe the House of Representatives who may have been involved likewise in this broad, very sweeping effort on January 6th, before January 6th, after January 6th, to undermine, to interfere with the results of the 2020 election. Is it possible to indict other individuals? Absolutely. And it is highly likely that people like Jack Smith, and maybe Fannie Willis as well. We actually know with respect to Fannie Willis that there were other people recommended to her by the investigating grand jury, recommended to her for indictment, and she chose not to indict them. Doesn't mean that she can't indict them down the road, but just that in her sweeping indictment returned by the indicting grand jury several months ago, the 19 people there are the first ones that she indicted. And we're going to talk in just a few moments or so about the significant event having to do with two of those defendants. They are Sidney Powell and Kenneth Chesbrough. Fannie Willis could indict more people. It is the simple procedural truth that Jack Smith could also, and likely will at some point down the road, indict other people beyond just Donald Trump federally for their involvement. It could be these six unindicted people, could be the fake electors, could be other people known and unknown to us publicly. So all of those things are possibilities, Linda, and I appreciate very much the call. Appreciate very much the comment and the support of our efforts this morning to engage in some civics, as we always do here on this morning program. Also appreciating, of course, your calls. And Mark is on the line from Prairie du Sac. Mark, glad to have you with us this morning. Your comment or question about the subject matters we've been talking about.
Well, it occurred to me, you know, listening this morning and listening previously, that I don't think that just because Donald Trump is no longer president of the United States, he is still not bound by his oath that he took to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. And one of the provisions in the Constitution, of course, is the preamble to the Constitution. And establish justice and promote domestic tranquility or ensure domestic tranquility is something he's violating now with all his rhetoric on going after the people that are that he thinks are going after him for his violations of the law. And it feeds into the whole thing of now the whole kerfuffle over the Speaker of the House. I mean, death threats are coming in for people not voting for Jim Jordan. I mean,